Let's Talk About, a podcast by the University of Vienna.
So let's talk about the Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellowship. Welcome to the podcast of Research Services and Career Development at the University of Vienna. This podcast addresses current and future researchers at the University of Vienna and highlights all kinds of things you should know about research funding, technology transfer, and the management of research projects. My name is Elena Morrison, and I'm a research manager at the University of Vienna and mainly deal with European funding programs. Today, I've invited Shanna Zaya to talk about the Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellowship. Shanna is currently a postdoctoral researcher and lecturer at the university. She received her PhD in Assyriology with distinction from Yale University in May 2017. In 2018, she came to the university as a Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellow in the Department of Near Eastern Studies in the Faculty of Philological and Cultural Studies. Thank you for joining us today, Shanna. To start off, can you give us a brief introduction into Assyriology and your Marie Sklodowsky Curie project?
Sure. So Assyriology is the study of the history and the languages of the ancient Middle East, mostly Iraq and its surrounding areas. And for my project, I specialized in the political and religious capitals of two different empires in the first millennium BCE in what's now Iraq. So specifically, I was interested in to what extent a king's actions and projects in this empire influenced the urban development and the construction of his empire and how the people living in it were affected.
Okay. And why did you choose to apply for a Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellowship?
So the nature of my project is such that I needed to learn more about working with a text genre that I didn't specialize in my doctoral studies. And it is something that the University of Vienna really is well known for, and they're very strong in their expertise in this particular text corpora and in the Neo-Babylonian Empire itself, which is one of the two empires that I studied. So I specialized in the Neo-Assyrian, and here the specialty is the Neo-Babylonian. And because my project was comparative between the two, I wanted to have an opportunity to learn more about the skills that I would need and the basic information that you need to work with Neo-Babylonian texts. So the Marie Curie was a really nice opportunity for coming to a specific institution in Europe to have this transfer of knowledge. So I could come with my expertise and I could learn over 2 years the expertise here as part of running my research project. So I was really interested in coming to Vienna specifically, and the Marie Curie happened to be the type of funding that I wanted in terms of having this supervisor relationship for my project here. It's also a really nice option if this is your first major independent grant, which it was for me. So thanks to this required transfer of knowledge and the ability to work closely with the supervisor who is more senior in the field, you get to learn a lot from their experiences, not just from the skills that you might want for your project, but also from their experiences in running grants and running research projects. So 2 years is also a really good amount of time if you're doing this for the first time. It's not too long and burdensome, but it's also not only 1 year. So this is a really nice way for an early career researcher to cultivate skills that they want to, but also to move past their graduate program, both in terms of their research and the logistics of becoming an independent researcher who has their own research project. Plus, the Marie Curie has a really nice infrastructure, which you don't get with a lot of different grant programs. So I actually got to meet some of the other fellows at the University of Vienna at conferences that were interregional, so at different universities. And now I'm part of an alumni system. So it does have an infrastructure of support, and they do provide opportunities to promote your project and to disseminate your research results. So it's a really nice program.
Great. Let's go a little bit into the application process. Can you tell us a little bit about how the application process went and any challenges you faced when you were preparing your proposal? And maybe if you remember, I know it was a while ago that you did your application, but a little bit of what the application process is like.
Sure. So I can talk about the challenges and what I wish I had known and the actual process of applying itself. So my main challenge was that I was based in the United States. That's my home country. And I didn't know a lot about EU grants or EU funding in general. We tend to know more about the systems of our home country, of course. And I actually didn't know anyone in my circle who had ever applied for Marie Curie or who had ever gotten one. So it was really hard to navigate the system as a complete outsider. And if you can make friends with people who have applied for Marie Curie, that's very helpful. But for many people in the US, for example, that just might be the reality of the situation. So navigating the system was a challenge. And what I didn't know was that I could write to the grants office here at the University of Vienna, which I learned through one of my colleagues who happened to be applying to a German university for the same program. And she suggested, oh, there must be an office like that at the University of Vienna. Why don't you contact them? And I did. I wish I had earlier, but when I did, it was incredibly helpful to work with this office because they know how to help you and they will read drafts and they will sort of guide you through the European funding programs, not just the Marie Curie, but in my case, it was extraordinarily helpful once I made the connection with the host institution. In terms of writing the proposal itself, what I would suggest is to really think about work plan and deliverables. This was something that I found really challenging because, well, first of all, I had never seen a Gantt chart in my life. I didn't know what a Gantt chart was. I had to write one into this grant, and it required a lot of Googling on my part to even understand what do they want from me, and it's very time-consuming. But in being confronted with this Gantt chart, it is a really important thing to take into consideration as you're actually coming up with the project, because you need to think about how to design work packages, deliverables, and milestones, which none of us have to do really for our dissertation projects. The deliverable is have dissertation at the end, essentially. Your milestones might be chapters along the way, but we, at least in the US, we don't talk about it using this kind of language. So to design these kind of things in a way that made sense for actual things that I wanted to accomplish in the project and how they were going to measure progress was really challenging because I'd come up with the project idea first, and then I had to think about more concrete deliverables, and then I had to go back and sort of amend my project once I had thought about it in a more realistic way. So I would suggest that it is more useful when you're thinking about the project itself to think about already concretely while you're conceptualizing what the project is, what you want to get out of it, specifically what you want to produce from it. So it is possible to change those deliverables a bit afterwards with consultation of the EU project officer, but I really don't recommend it. I had to a little bit, obviously, with the COVID-19 situation, but it's much better if you have these things really thought through as you're writing your project. And that also is more convincing in a proposal because it shows that you have something realistic that you can actually achieve, and it's not just empty words. So that's what I would suggest for things that I wish I had known, at least while writing the proposal. The actual application process for me is something that I don't recommend at all to anyone else because I didn't know about the Marie Curie until quite late. When I heard about it, I sort of jumped into it, and I approached my supervisor here and I went and looked these up. I approached him on August 11th, 2016, and I submitted the proposal on September 13th, 2016. So from zero to submission, I had about a month, and it was a very intense month. So you want to give yourself a little bit more time. And I'm talking really zero. I didn't even have a project really conceptualized. I had an idea that I thought the supervisor would find appealing, but you want more time than that. But I basically completed it in a month, and I heard back in January 2017, and then I deferred the start date for a year. So that was my process.
That is very impressive that you got the entire project proposal written in in about a month. That is as you mentioned, not something that we would recommend, but for some, it works sometimes for some people. So very good.
Yeah, sometimes necessity is the mother of invention, but...
Yeah, some people like to have that extra stress to make sure that things get done. Just to backtrack a little bit, how did you actually hear about the grant being in the States? Because it's not as well known there as it is in Europe.
That's true. And in the US, we definitely emphasize local opportunities, and the tenure track system is much more developed than the postdoc system. So it's not even that usual to talk about postdocs. But my program was heavily international. So most of my colleagues were not from the US, and they were mostly interested in European opportunities. And I had myself done a year abroad in Germany on a DAAD fellowship. So I had learned a little bit about at least the DAAD and other sort of Germany-based fellowships. And I had heard about Euraxis and databases like this. And it was really through my colleagues and I were quite good about sharing information with each other. A lot of us were graduating around the same time. And it just happened that one of my colleagues was applying for this Marie Curie in Germany. So that prompted me to look into it, because she said maybe this would also be something that you're interested in. And that was true of several other grants, like the Goethe Henkel in Germany and other things like that. But it is not something that we usually know a lot about, and especially the idea that as someone really early stage, you could be doing this, because I was still writing my dissertation at the time when I applied for this, and I didn't even know if I was eligible for it at that time. But yeah, it's actually a really nice program for someone who's leaving the doctoral program and moving into their first research project. So hopefully more people will hear about it in the US, especially now as there's more and more internationalization of people moving to the US just to study, or people moving out of the US for post-docking opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So there's the research component of the grant, but you also mentioned the other part that was really helpful for you, learning from the supervisor. Can you just talk a little bit more about that part of the research project, the part that's not focused on the research, and what sort of your goals were for that part? And also specifically the non-scientific training.
Sure. Yeah. And this was actually one of the tips I would have for a future applicant, is that we tend to focus a lot on the project itself, but you should also really think about the supervisor and picking the supervisor carefully. So the supervisor I worked with here is not just someone who's a specialist in what I wanted to work in, but also someone who has a really good record of supervising students, graduate students, postdocs, and running grants himself. So in terms of the training, we met pretty much every week, sometimes every 2 weeks, if we were both sort of busy with research-related issues. And he really helped me work through troubleshooting or expectations about where I should be, how many publications I should be aiming for, or what the process is like to go from zero into an article. And he read drafts of conference proposals and the conference papers themselves, and essentially an extension of what my doctoral supervisor had been doing during my degree, of sort of training me up to be a functional scholar and researcher. But it's a different relationship with the supervisor when you're a postdoc, because it's much more as colleagues. So I felt more comfortable sharing ideas as an equal and learning how to do that, sort of unlearning what it's like to be a graduate student and working with colleagues at an equal level rather than going in and being a student still. So even though I was learning from him, it was less of a student-teacher relationship and more of colleagues working together on joint initiatives. So he really did help me a lot with this project, and it took an interest in the project. And not all supervisors necessarily have that time or energy or that aim. I've heard this a lot about the natural sciences, for example. So you should really think about the supervisor that you want to work with. So, and he would even send me anything that came across in his email about University of Vienna's trainings for postdocs or career development or opportunities to to further my career. So he was always interested in how will this grant not only help your research profile, but how will it take you to the next stage of your career? And now I'm sort of in the next job, and it did help prepare me for that.
Okay. Do you have any other recommendations or tips for people who are considering applying to the Marie Sklodowsky-Curie Fellowship Program?
Yeah, so my tips, generally they're falling into two categories, I would say, the institution and the supervisor, which we're already starting to touch on, and then with the application itself, because people always want to know about the application itself. So to continue off of what I was saying with the supervisor, the project is very important, obviously, for the Marie Curie, but it's not as important as, say, for an ERC START grant or one of these really big ones. It has to be a good project, but you also have to have this really good match with the institution and the supervisor. Because of this transfer of knowledge component to the Marie Curie Individual Fellowship, you should find a place where you bring your expertise or your knowledge, and you will get knowledge from working in this place. The mistake I've seen some of my colleagues make is that they go somewhere where there's already someone like them, thinking that I'll just do a project that I know about and a supervisor that does the same exact thing, and that will be a good match. But it's actually not a good match. You want to find somewhere where you are something different that you can provide and that you will get something out of it as well. So then you can have this transfer of knowledge. So you should research that institution well. You should not try to force a match with an institution. If you've just already picked your institution for other reasons, it might not look as convincing as if it comes from what you want to achieve with your project. And also you will need to know things like what they offer besides the supervisor and the department. So do they have a good research library, like here at the University of Vienna? That was a major selling point. Do they have an Office of Science Communication for all these deliverables that you're going to be giving and all the research that you're going to be disseminating? Do they offer career development? Because this is something for early career researchers, and you want it to be the stepping stone into the next thing, not the end point or the high of your career. So the grants office should give a good idea of what the university offers in general. And that was true in my case, for sure. I got a lot of information about what the university has to offer. And you should definitely consult with the host institution early and often to get this kind of information and really do a good vetting process of what this institution means for your project and what you mean as well. For the application itself, something that was really important for me was finding an example of a successful grant, and that's not always easy. It wasn't someone in my field. I found one online from the natural sciences, actually, but it was still really helpful because you have to use this template, and sometimes it's not clear what they want in that template. The subheadings aren't as explanatory as you'd like. So seeing an example of a successful grant is good to see what kinds of things are expected in these sections and what level of detail or what sort of things they're including. Ideally, you'd also want to see some unsuccessful grants and see what you think didn't work, but obviously you can't always have access to things like that. But the things that I have observed or talked to other colleagues who had maybe unsuccessful grants the first time or unsuccessful grants several times or a successful one after one attempt or two attempts is that what I would recommend, at least, is that your project also stretches you beyond your dissertation and shows a clear development in your research agenda. Some risk-taking, maybe not too much risk-taking. It's only a two-year fellowship, but you want to be able to tell a story with your research. So look back at what you've done and see how this project takes you into that next chapter and moves you into new spaces. I would also advise that your project shouldn't sound too technical because it is read by people not exactly in your field. So don't get caught up in your own jargon. And you should recognize that there's sort of a language to grant writing. It's somewhere closer to maybe what we would associate with management speak or business speak. But it's the kind of thing that you could see in successful grants, that there are ways of describing things that are not field specific, but maybe grant language specific. there's a lot of repetition, for example, between sections. You just have to be okay with this. I was very bothered by it. But when I saw other grants and saw, okay, they are saying similar things in similar sections, maybe slightly different ways, this is something that is sought after in this template. I would also suggest if someone listening to this is before the point of actually writing the application, that if you have a bit of run-up time, to think about your CV and what shape it needs to be in to demonstrate that you are an independent researcher and that you are active in your field. What this looks like would depend largely on what your field is like. In my field, for example, it's not common to have more than maybe one publication when you're still a PhD student, if any publication. So that's not necessarily something that we have a lot of. But for us, it would be important to show that we present a lot at conferences. We disseminate our research results in different venues, to international audiences, to public audiences. Maybe we write blogs. Maybe we get invited to seminars, that we take initiatives to in our research and in our scientific communication, or in organizing workshops or study groups. And what probably helped me more than I had thought about at the time is that I had gotten this DAAD grant previously, so smaller grants, and I had some small research travel awards from my graduate studies and things like that, to show that you can get third-party funding, even if it's just a little bit here and there, but that you took that step to get something in line and that you were able to do something with it. So they can trust that they will be investing in you. So if you're at that stage and you can do that, I would suggest really thinking about your CV. If you are in the process, I would suggest looking at like recent grant applications that were successful. And if you get it, what I suggest as someone who has completed this grant is keep very good records of what you're doing for that final report, which I keep good records, but the final report is something that is based a lot on the grant itself. So this comes back to what I was saying with the Gantt chart and the work packages and the deliverables. You want to be thinking about also your future self who has finished the grant and what that process of those deliverables and milestones and work packages actually would look like over the course of the grant. So that really would have helped me conceptualize my project, I think, better. My project was fine, but looking back on it, there are some things now that I would have changed, specifically with the work packages, that I think would have made it even more effective and made more sense. So if I had thought of my future self writing this last report, it might have been different.
Okay. Now that you are sort of finished a fellowship, can you talk a little bit about what sort of an impact it's had on your career and what your sort of, how are you going to use the fellowship in the next stage of your career?
Yeah, I mean, this was such a hugely influential moment for me to have had this opportunity to spend 2 years as a fellow in the University of Vienna. And I was lucky enough that as I was doing this, a position opened up for a university assistant, which is what I now have for the next 3.5 years still I have in my contract. And it basically is a combination of research and teaching and administration. So the project was really important for me because it helped me get a lot of research finished and a lot of publications either out or in progress. Now that I'm teaching 2 courses a semester, I don't have as much time for research. So I'm really still working off of the data I collected during my project and the information I have been putting together and the publications that are now, some are between 80 and 90% finished. So I can finish those up as I'm teaching even. So, and not everyone has that, is lucky in getting research time. So it's something that I guarded preciously while I had it. And it's something that hopefully I will apply for another grant in the future again to, again, get some more research time into myself. But it really did work as an amazing stepping stone. I learned a lot of the practicalities of running a grant. I learned a lot about what works and what doesn't work. And I learned sometimes the hard way about the things that I should have done or things that I will do in the future. And now I belong to a group of colleagues in this new subfield that I came here to learn about, and I've been working a lot with them and making new connections and new contacts. So it's really expanded my network functionally as well as in terms of the sort of conversations I'm having. So I feel like I'm much more connected, especially within European academia, than I was before.
Okay, great. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else that we should touch on?
If there was anything to add, I would just reiterate how really great a program the Marie Curie Individual Fellowship is. I'm thrilled to have had the opportunity to be part of it. It really was an amazing thing. And I am sad that it only lasted 2 years, but I could have probably used a third year. But I think maybe they're having conversations about that for the future.
We can throw in a promo. There's a new program at the university for an expression of interest to try to get more applicants at the university. And the rector decided to also put in an additional year of third year funding for salary for the top 10 applicants for the year. So it's a way to get a little bit of a longer fellowship. We've heard a lot. Yeah, 2 years is okay, but it's also kind of a little bit short in some cases. So there's now the option for people to have the chance to get an extra year of funding.
Yeah, that's really great because you do have to start applying for the next thing already in the second year, and that can sometimes derail.
I feel like it's a lot to think about having, like, you just started sort of getting into the fellowship, and then all of a sudden you have to start thinking about what you're going to do after it, even though you're only halfway done.
Yeah, it is really, it's also really challenging because you've had to relocate by definition for the Marie Curie, so you might be thinking about, I will have to relocate pretty soon again.
Well, I'll just say thank you, Shanna, for sharing your Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellowship experience with us today. So the Marie Sklodowsky Curie Individual Fellowship is an EU-funded postdoc training program in which the postdoctoral researcher, otherwise known as the fellow, gains additional skills and abilities working on a specific research project in a new environment, while also transferring their knowledge within their new institution. The fellowships usually last 2 years and are open to all fields of research. So the EU has started a new funding program in 2020 called Horizon Europe, and it will run from 2020 to 2027. Under Horizon Europe, the Marie Sklodowsky Curie Individual Fellowship will now be called a postdoctoral fellowship, and there have also been some changes to the eligibility criteria, as the applicants must be in possession of a PhD and no more than 8 years since their PhD was awarded. The University of Vienna will begin running its expression of interest for individuals interested in applying for a Marie Sklodowsky Curie postdoctoral fellowship with the university, and more information about the expression of interest will be linked in the information by the website. Extra funding for a third year is also available to the 10 top-ranked European postdoctoral fellowships awarded to the university. That's the top 5 male and the top 5 female candidates, based on the score given by the European Commission. These individuals will receive an additional third year of salary, allowing the fellow and supervisor to carry out additional research, publication, training, or grant writing. If you're interested in applying for a Marie Sklodowsky Curie Fellowship, please contact our office. The call opens in mid-April, so please contact us after mid-April once the call details have been published.